150 and 282.
Again, it's good to see everybody out. It's wonderful to be able to come together and study. Last Sunday, we had entered into Ephesians chapter 4. And starting with verse 4, we read through verse 6. We'll go ahead and do that again. It says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And so last week, Sunday morning, we went forth and we talked about the one God and Father of all. We talked about the one Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We talked about the one Spirit that was sent and the Word in which He had given to us. And we talked about the one hope we have of salvation and a home in heaven. And so this morning, I'd like to take the time aside and to finish the lesson here on talking about one and go forth and pick up of the things that we did not bring out of these verses and talk about the one faith, the one baptism, and the one body. And it's just it's a continuation again, and I know I didn't go in the order in which it might have been listed here, but as we go forth and look at these verses, understanding that there is only one God who created all things, and one Son and Savior that He had sent down to die upon this world, going back to last week's lesson, those two points there are great points to remember as we enter into the remainder of this lesson, because it is only one Savior that died. One Son that was sent to teach and that had preached the Word, and therefore there was only one Spirit that has given us the Word, one and the same Spirit as we read in the book of Corinthians that had went forth and gave the variety of gifts of the Holy Spirit, but it was only one Spirit. And in those verses, it talked about that one Spirit in which we are baptized, and we'll get to that again in this lesson, because again, it talks about entering into that body, into the church. And so it's something to remember as we enter into this next part of one faith. Because as there is only one God, one Savior, one Spirit, well, that means that they all gave the same thing, but that we can't go to a variety of different teachings, a variety of different doctrines and religions to find where it is we need to go or what it is we need to do in order to be saved. Because there's only one God, and why would the one God give us a variety of different teachings? There was only one Savior who died for us, and He only taught one thing, one way in which we're supposed to go. He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the vine, and no one gets to the Father except through Him." The Holy Spirit had taught the same thing through different men, different apostles and prophets, through the teachings that we have here in the Holy Inspired Word of God. But it all leads back to this, the one faith that we have. Again, I know Sunday evening we talked a little bit about faith in itself, and how it makes the greatest difference in our lives, the greatest difference in how we view the Bible. And we came here to Hebrews 11, verse 6, and we talked about that. Hebrews 11, 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him." But the key part of this is that we have to have the right faith, though. Because though we say one faith, there are a large amount of numbers of beliefs out in the world today. Varieties of teachings of different things that they claim that will save somebody. That one is simply saved because God has already saved you. That no one is going to go to hell. No destruction. No evil. Others will say all you have to do is believe and you will be saved. Allow God into your heart and you will be saved. And there are, of course, others who believe in idols. Believe in other gods. I don't believe that there's a God at all. So to say that there is only one faith in that point of view would be incorrect. There is only one faith that does lead to salvation. There is only one faith that will get you to heaven. One true faith that we must have in order to be pleasing to our Father up above. must have that faith. In Romans 10, verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must have faith again, and that faith must come from a certain teaching. It must come from the inspired Word of God. And again, as I was going over the lesson, I started off, well, I need to add these verses to it. But again, I brought these verses out during the last study, during Sunday, when we talked about the one Spirit. That the one Spirit in Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, down towards the end of the chapter, it brought out that all men, holy men, were moved by the Holy Spirit. That they wrote these things, not for their own private interpretation, not for just certain people, but he wrote them as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were moved by God. And so therefore, we looked at 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, that tells us that all Scripture is given by the breath of God. And so faith comes by what? By hearing the Word of God. If your faith came from anything else besides that, it is not the one faith that you're supposed to have. And again, that's not saying that your parents didn't teach it. Well, I heard from mom and dad. Well, did they teach it from the Bible? If so, then that is the one faith. Well, I heard it from the preacher. Did he teach it from the Bible? Did you hear the words of God? Did you see the book, the chapter, the verse where the Holy Spirit inspired those men to write those things for you to have? If so, that is the one thing. But when someone comes along and they start teaching things and they don't have the Word of God along with it, or they leave out some verses when you ask questions about what about this verse that contradicts what you're saying, or this verse that's supposed to go along with it. Yes, there's Bible verses that say that you are saved by faith through grace and grace by through faith. But what also does it tell us in the Word of God? That faith without works is dead. That you're also saved by baptism. That it also brings out you must repent in order to receive forgiveness. But means you have to start adding these things together. That one alone doesn't lead to salvation, but you must put them all together. If we don't do that, then we do not have the one thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 6, as we have the inspired Word of God and we study it and we look to it, we need to understand, again, we cannot go beyond what has been given to us, as the brethren here in Corinth were struggling with putting other men above others and saying, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, and they come forth and they put others higher. Because some were with the mindset, well, we go with the best scholar. Others were saying, no, you go with the most popular person. And others say, no, you go with the person that's popular around here. And so they were going in different directions. But here Paul's trying to humble them. He's trying to say, we are nobody. Christ is the only one that has died for us. He says, I apply these things to myself. He says, I'm nobody. I did not die for your sins to be washed away. I've applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against the other. Not to think beyond what the Scriptures have given you, where they lead you, what they teach you. To sit here and say, I have a greater understanding. We don't have to listen to these persons over here. And we can add a little bit of this over here. Again, through the whole entire Word of God, it's always been that way. When the law was given, they were not allowed to add to it or take away from it. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and you'll read it there that they were not allowed to add to nor take away. You can go to Revelation 22 and see for the book of Revelation that they're not allowed to add to or take away from it. Therefore, we cannot add and go beyond the Scripture. We can't add to it. We must stick to the Word of God. Because it is the one and only faith, the one true faith that leads to salvation. If it does not come from the Bible, does not come from the words of God, then it is not the one true faith. In John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and I'm pretty sure we looked at this chapter when we look at verses 1 and 2, and talk about that home in heaven, the mansion in heaven that we all desire to have. We talk about the one hope last week. But here in verses 11 and 12, as you read further along, it says, believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. There, again, he tells us to believe in him. But he says, if you believe in me, then what? You're going to do the works. You're going to obey. That's why we can go to James in chapter 2, start in verse 14, go through verse 26, and read all those verses that talk about faith without works dead. Looking at the examples that it gives us in those verses. Faith will lead you to obey. Because then we believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe that His blood washes away your sins, and we believe in how that is done through the inspired Word. As we're, again, we're about to get there, talking about baptism and reaching that one. Without faith, it's impossible. We're going to believe that He has all authority, then we must do as He's commanded. Matthew 28, and verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given. All authority is given to our Lord. We must obey Him. We must have faith in Him. Because He is the one and only. So upon that, as we go back and think about the other point, there is only one baptism. I'm not saying only one person gets baptized. And again, not saying that there aren't other ways in which men have tried to baptize, in which they claim of what baptism does for others. But there is only one true baptism in which leads to salvation. Only one. Again, we can see that there's a different kinds of baptism that aren't necessarily to salvation, because we can turn to Acts chapter 19 here. Acts chapter 19, and look at with me in verse 3. And it says, and he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. Right off the bat, here they make the point. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit upon when you were baptized? Upon when you believed? And said, we have not heard whether there was. What then were you baptized? We were baptized into John's baptism. In verse 4 says, Paul said, John baptized the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so there are other baptisms, but there's only one that we come to salvation. One that will get you to the forgiveness of sins. One that will get you into His kingdom and into heaven. We've got to make sure we're baptized and that we have confirmed the truth, that our faith is in the right spot when we obey the gospel. Romans chapter 6, and looking at verse 3. Romans chapter 6, and looking at verse 3. It says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Again, it all comes back to what this oneness is in these verses of Ephesians. Because again, it talks about the Father here. It talks about the one Savior, our faith in Him, that He had died, that He had resurrected. And now we come to this one baptism that connects those links together, because we have hope of salvation, because Jesus died for us, because He did resurrect. And now that you are being baptized, it's in the likeness of that. That you have that faith that when you are buried in the water, that you are raised up in newness of life and resurrected a new person. Just as Christ resurrected. It's only one faith. One baptism that washes those sins away.
Yeah, 1 Peter 3, verse 21.
The antitype, the light figure, whereunto baptism does now save. Not the putting away of the flesh, the answer to the good conscience, the fair conscience, the force of Jesus.
Through what? Through the resurrection.
That one faith in our Savior, that one faith that God saved him. And this is putting in comparison to Noah and the flood. Again, our faith in the Word of God, our faith that God did save Noah and his family, 8 souls by water, raising up that ark. Again, that means we have the faith that God destroyed the world once, and he does plan on completely destroying the world. All comes back to our faith in what the Word of God says in our one God, Savior, Spirit, our hope, and that there is only one baptism. One baptism that saves us. Mark 16:16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. Baptism is part of that salvation. And as you go through the versions in the book of Acts, and you go through and find the verses that talk about salvation, talk about being saved, talk about being washed, talk about being forgiven, and you look at those that talk about belief, talk about grace, talk about repentance, talk about confession, that means they are all necessary in order to be saved. And part of that is that. Because again, yes, faith is part of all that. That if you can say whatever you want and let it come out of your mouth, but if you do not believe, it does you no good. You can be dumped in water, completely immersed, but if you do not believe, what good will it be? Faith is necessary, but baptism is also necessary. You don't have to have that second part of Mark 16:16. That so many in the world want to claim that you have to have, that you believe not, you shall be condemned. See there, it doesn't say baptized not. That's because without faith, that baptism does you no good, and you're just washing dirt off of it. With faith in that baptism, then it goes back to Romans 6. It goes back to 1 Peter 3, and we know what's being done there. That you are reflecting and being an antitype, a light figure to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And that you are washing your sins away. In Acts 2, verse 38, when they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter, what can we do? What must we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here again, baptism leading to salvation, leading to forgiveness of sins. And as you study the Word of God, you study and look at the term of baptism, and look back to the definition, the Greek context of it, how it means to be completely covered, to be immersed. Therefore, it cancels out all sprinkling. Therefore, it cancels out all pouring of the water. When we look at the examples throughout the Word of God, how and different points that they went down into the water, or the eunuch had to wait until they came amongst a large brook of water, that they couldn't just grab the canteens of water that they had and pour it over them, or sprinkle it over them as they continued to travel down the road. We can see the true baptism. Forgiveness of sins. We must do this in order to be saved. And therefore we lead to one body, which is the church. I want to make that connection that the body is the church here at the beginning part of this point in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. There are many verses that we turn to here and see that the body is the church. It says here, it says that he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Again, Christ is what? He is the head
of the body. Meaning, again, what we've already pointed out, he has all authority on heaven and on earth. He's the head. He's in charge. He controls what the body is to do. He tells the body when it's in pain, when it's in suffering, when it needs to fix things, when it needs to do good, when it needs to run, when it needs to walk, when it needs to rest. That's all in the head. Brain talking to the rest of the body. And what is the body? The body is the church.
Church should be following the one Lord and Savior that we have. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20 says, here it says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only this age, but also to the age to come. And when he put all things under his feet, he gave him head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of it. Fills all of them. Again, Christ is the head, the one in charge, the one, again, we must believe in him, the one that adds us to his kingdom. This is the one that has died. Watch him. He is the head of the body, which is the church. There's only one church. Again, Ephesians 5, verse 23, when it talks about husband and wives, giving us the example of being the head of the household there, Christ is the head of the church, the head of the body. But if we were to draw a picture of a body, of a person, you would draw one head, which is Christ. And then you would draw one body. One body. You want to go forth and start putting another body on the side, another body on this side, another body on the top, and bodies all around. But yet when you start saying that you can have a variety of religions, a variety of different quote-unquote churches, then you're starting to say there's more than one body. You're starting to say that there's a variety of bodies. Oh, we all serve the same God. We all serve the same Savior. There's only one head. Then they're saying, well, the head is in charge of a variety of bodies. That's not how God created it. There's one head, one body. And there are many members within the body that we have here today that work together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Looking at verse 12, he says, for just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. Goes forth and makes the point, just because you're not the hand, does that mean you're not the body? Just because you're the foot, does that mean you're not part of the body? No, it does. It means you're part of it. You have a part to do with the work of God. But you're still only one body. And we can go many, well, what about, he wrote to the church of Corinth, and he wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he wrote to the church in Colossus, the church in Rome. There's a congregation. Not different religions, not different teachings, not different faiths. They're all still the same church. Located in different areas. And so therefore that's part of the body. And we're different members of the same one body. So therefore there's still only one body in which we are entered into now through the one baptism. Through whom? The one spirit. We are baptizing the name of the Father and the Son. So there's only one body. There's only one church. And we must walk faithfully in it. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and looking at verse 4. As it reads here, it says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. again, the continuous point of being one.
It's not found in just one verse, though. That's all we have to have. That's all that is needed for us to say. That's something we need to believe. That is something that God has told us. That is something God has deemed worthy to put there for our faith, for our knowledge, for our growing.
We find it when we want. It tells us that there is only one church, that there is only one body. We need to make sure that we find the truth in which church the Lord has established. Which church did He establish when He said, "I will build my church. I will build my kingdom." Peter made that confession. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He says, "And upon your confession, I will build my church." He didn't say my church. He didn't say my kingdom. One church. One in which we are to be part of. We have to make sure we have answered that call to the one body. Colossians chapter 3, looking at verse 15. As it reads, it says, Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called. In one body. We were called to one body. Not called to a variety of different teachings, to be split, to say, "Oh, you go your way and I go mine." But understanding that God has established one. Now, it's true, as you study the Word of God, you can find a couple different names there. We know that Romans 16:16 will show us that this is the church of the Christ. You can find church of the first. But what they're all leading to is that it is Christ's church. The church of Christ. So when we wear that title, it's not necessarily the name, but we're actually trying to identify who we belong to. Just as you would call on the name of the Lord, that we're taking His name as we become Christians. We wear that name. Just as when you get married and you take on your spouse's last name, or your children take on your last name, and we become children of God and we wear the name Christian. And we become that body, the bride of Christ. And so therefore we are Christ's church of Christ. We extend the Lord's invitation to many to get to become part of the bride of Christ, part of the body of the Lord. Come forward and be baptized. If you're here and you need prayer for congregation or need anything, please let us know.